Ich?
Ja.
Okay. Thank you all for coming. We're home for the appearance day festival for Kedar Pandit. As I mentioned earlier, on our altar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on our left, Kedar Pandit is on the right, and Vrinda Devi is over here on the far right, holding the bucket with the fly box. Many more devotees were invited, but anyhow, I'm glad that you all were able to come. Thank you very much. Yes, so this is Varshanamara to speak something on the glories and pastimes of Kedar Pandit. Maharaj, if you could, if you're able.
Kedar Pandit is the unsung member of the Panchatattva because his nature and service are actually quite confidential. Kedar Pandit took birth in Chittagong. Or rather, his parents came from there. Madhav Mishra, his father, who's a plenary portion of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who is the pastoral chieftain, Vishubhana Maharaj and Krishna Lila, and had Gadadhar Pandit as his son. He was very dear to Lord Gauranga. But quite of a opposite nature. This Nimai Pandit was very apparently contentious, wayward, wrangling smarta, contending knife. And just always challenging everybody, especially the professors and the Vaishnavas. No one could answer his questions. No one could solve his riddles. No one could predict or control his behavior. But Mother Sachi noticed early on that when Nimai was in one of his incomprehensible and uncontrollable fits, as he was on the day when he asked Gadadhar Pandit, "Where is Krishna, who plays so sweetly upon his flute and dressed so gorgeously in yellow silk?" And Gadadhar Pandit saw that Nimai was in one of those very rare moments for that part of his lila, feeling intense separation from Krishna. So they told him, "Don't be anxious, Krishna's in your heart." At which Nimai began to tear apart his chest with his fingernails. And Mother Sachi was so fearful, and Gadadhar Pandit took his hand so gently and said, "But he's coming. Be patient. He'll appear before your eyes soon." And then Nimai just became totally peaceful. So Mother Sachi took Gadadhar Pandit aside and said, "No one has such an influence over my son. When he gets in these moods, even I cannot go near him. You pacify him and subdue him so perfectly. Please always stay by his side." And that request of Mother Sachi, which must be honored, as would be Vedic injunction, was the arrangement to fulfill the desire in the longing of Srimati Radharani and Krishna Lila, who prayed to have a male form. Sure, she could always stay by the side of Krishna and never be separated from him. And thus Gadadhar was always close to Nimai, but he also had trouble solving his rhetorical riddles. And would keep just far enough that he wouldn't have to answer his questions, but he couldn't stay any further than that. Most intimate of his associates in the early Lila was Mukunda Dutt. From Mekala in Chittagong, East Bengal, Mukunda is Rindadevi, so dear to Srimati, who was very dear to Gadadhar Pandit in his youth. And these two boys spent their days just seeking, serving, and hearing from sadhus. That was their childhood pastimes. One day, actually backing up a little bit, after Mahaprabhu actually finally saw Krishna at Kanayanathasala, and Krishna approached him and smiled so sweetly, and was just about to embrace Nimai when he disappeared. So when Mahaprabhu returned to Nadi, he was immersed in such deep feelings of separation. But with the arrival of Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda and the birth of the Sankirtan movement, the Lord was pleased, but he was not deeply satisfied at heart. And he gave vent to the agony which was tormenting his soul one day just at the end of the kirtan, when the Lord, in an uncontrollable mood, burst into tears and cried out, "Pundarik, my father, when will I see you again, O Vinidiri?" And the devotees are wondering, Pundarik is the name of Krishna, but who's Vinidiri? And why is he calling father and weeping piteously? When the Lord came back to external consciousness, they asked him, "For who are you crying?" Said, "You're fortunate to have inquired, because the world is purified hearing his name and glories. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a great devotee of Mekala. Nobody knows, nobody understands, because his external attire and behavior is that of a voluptuary, one who is addicted to the voluptuous pleasures of this world. And he hides himself and conceals his nature for a reason, because he cannot bear to see any disrespectful behavior, especially to Ganga Devi. So seeing that people go to Ganga to wash their clothes and brush their teeth and other such purposes, his heart is so pained he can't go out in the day, but he goes in the middle of the night and gathers some water from the Ganga for his puja, which he does in seclusion. He resides in Mekala, and I need to see him. So you all, please, combine your affection and attraction to draw him here, and we will see him and be blessed soon." So hearing of this great devotee, the devotees felt such affection for him and began meditating on him. And far away in Mekala, Pundarik Vidyanidhi felt an irresistible attraction drawing him to Navadvip Dham. But he arrived incognito, although he had many servants and much luggage. And he took up his Navadvip residence, which was very opulent. But amongst the Vaishnavas, no one knew except Mukunda and Vasudeva that Punarek has arrived. So when Mukunda came to Gadadhar Pandit's house that morning, he was just elated. Yes. Why? He said, a most wonderful and exceptional Vaishnava has arrived in Navadvip Dham. And Gadadhar said, then make me fortunate by introducing me. So they ran off chanting Krishna Krishna. And Mukunda led Gadadhar before Pundarik Vidyanidhi and they offered obeisances. And when Gadadhar Pandit looked up, he saw seated on an elevated asan on a beautiful ornate couch fashioned out of brass with a finest workmanship, tinged crimson, very soft, fluffy silk pillows, three different multicolored canopies draped over his head, servants fanning him with peacock fans, and the way his hair was decorated, combed and scented with the finest fragrant oils. Tilak made of the finest scented sandalwood. And as he chewed betel and looked into the mirror and saw his reddish lips, he smiled at his reflection in the mirror. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, what kind of Vaishnava is this? Appearing like a prince to enjoy the finest, choicest, sensuous pleasures of this world. The Mukunda was very intimate with Gadadhar Pandit and could read his heart. So he chose two verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, related verses, one from the third canto, one from the tenth. Alas, how could I worship anyone other than Krishna, who is so kind, so merciful, so loving, that even though that Rakshasi Putana, who ate babies and came before Krishna with the intent to offer him deadly poison, but he accepted that as a gesture of maternal affection and elevated her to the position of Ambika, assistant to Dashoda in Goloka Vrindavan. How could I worship anyone but Krishna? No one else is so loving, so merciful, and simply accepts whatever worthy intent and overlooks all our faults, shortcomings, and evil intent. And hearing that verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi rose from his seat and began crying out in great anguish, O Krishna, my Lord, my life and soul, you have appeared in this world to deliver the universe, everyone except Pundarik, whose heart is harder than stone. And then he just fell down on the ground, crying and thrashing, and the devotees could see as if Ganga Devi had appeared again before them as the tears flowed from his eyes. And as all the Astasatika Bhavas appeared simultaneously competing for his supremacy, and he just thrashing, and the servants were trying to hold him down, and they were flying around the room, and they were trying to rescue whatever paraphernalia from his convulsive fits, until he finally, just as if drowned in the ocean of love of Krishna, and all life symptoms were suspended. And for 6 hours, He lay motionless on the floor. And Mukunda, or rather Gadadhar Pandit, turned to Mukunda and said, "I have committed a grave offense. Judging by external circumstances, I slighted him. And that is a grievous obstacle in my spiritual life. But I have considered that if I throw myself at his lotus feet in total submission and surrender and beg to be his disciple, he will overlook my faults and forgive me." Gadadhar Pandit said, or Mukunda said, "That's what I was hoping." And he came out of external consciousness and he looked again at Gadadhar. He said, "Who is this boy who is so effulgent with bhakti?" Mukunda said, "This is Gadadhar Pandit, the son of Madhav Mishra, who since his childhood has always been so mature and so sober and so grave and only interested in bhakti and nothing else. But seeing you, he misunderstood. But now he knows, and he seeks your shelter." And Pundarik said, "It is a rare and precious arrangement of providence that one can find such a qualified soul. So the 12th night is an auspicious conjunction of the constellations upon which I will fulfill his desires." So Gadadhar Pandit went and told Mahaprabhu, who was very happy, "Yes." And then Pundarik Vidyadhara came to Mahaprabhu at night and fell down on the ground crying in much the same way, oh my Lord, you have descended to deliver the universe. I alone am bereft of your mercy, because my heart is as dry as wood." And then Mahaprabhu ran and embraced him. For 3 hours, he held him so tightly as in his embrace, it was as if the two had merged into one form. Not in identity, but in love. And the Lord was immersed in internal consciousness. And when he came out, he proclaimed to the devotees, "His name is Pundarik. He has been fashioned by providence to personify and bestow bhakti in this world. And now, providence has smiled favorably upon me again because my father, at long last, is visible again before my eyes." And thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, but in the word of Srimati Radharani, every year Radhastami, we go to the house of Pundarik Vidyadhara. So Gadadhar Pandit was the only one who stayed with Mahaprabhu in his later Leela in Puri, having taken the vow of Chaitra Sannyas to serve Gopinath, Dutta Gopinath. And the Lord would come to Gadadhar Pandit every day to hear Bhagavatam. Because Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna in the word of Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani, who's teaching Mahaprabhu through the Bhagavat how to serve as Srimati Radharani does. When the Lord left this world, Gadadhar Pandit stayed only because the Lord had instructed him to bestow his mercy upon Srinivasacharya, who, when he met Gadadhar Pandit, was seeing just a faint image of how he had been in the presence of the Lord. And he asked to study the Bhagavat from him. When they opened the Bhagavatam, there was no words. And Gadadhar Pandit explained to Srinivasacharya that when I would read the Bhagavatam to Mahaprabhu, like a lovesick schoolgirl, the tears flow from his eyes and wash out the words. You can't study this Bhagavat, there's no words left in it. And in those days, you couldn't just go to your local bookstore and buy a new Bhagavatam. You had to go all the way back to Navadvip. By the time he returned to Puri, Gadadhar Pandit had also left. Fulfilling the instruction to teach Srinivasacharya in the mood of separation. All the deities of the six Goswamis were turned over to the care of disciples of Gadadhar Pandit. And Tota Gopinath in Puri, who Gadadhar Pandit was the dedicated pujari for, so kind upon his servant. And when Gadadhar Pandit was very elderly, and would have to strain with great pain to place the garland around the neck of the deity, unable to see his devotee suffer in that way, Gopinath just sat down to facilitate his service. And thus is amongst very few deities in this world who's sitting. And Mahaprabhu, when he chose to leave this world, he ran to embrace and entered into the form of Tata Gopinath, Gadadhar Pandit's Ishtadev. Why Mukunda sang that verse is a very appropriate concept to contemplate. Why do we worship Krishna? And what form of worship actually pleases Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When he returned from Gaya and saw that the devotees were immersed, heart and soul, in their sadhana bhakti, their vaidhi, he was pleased, but it wasn't the standard of devotion that he desired to practice and to bestow upon this world. He wanted to reveal the glories of Raghunuga Bhakti. So why do we worship Krishna? What is the impetus behind reverential worship? It's fear-based. All civilized humans worship the Lord because they understand that by obeying the cosmic laws, we will benefit in terms of peace, prosperity, and wisdom. In violating those laws, we suffer. So we worship the Lord in reverence and fear. And in that way, there's something like Putana, who put on the attire of a Vaishnava and offer our devotion, but it's mixed. Because the conditioned souls really desire to kill Krishna because they're envious of Krishna. But Krishna overlooks our faults and shortcomings and accepts only the bhakti and purifies the rest. So, amongst the Panchatattva, all the members serve as an essential link between ourselves and Krishna. Sri Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda are the essential links between the spiritual and mundane worlds and represent the path of reverential worship. Gadadhar Pandit personifies and demonstrates the path of intimate love, and therefore his glories remain unsung, largely. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavandas Thakur have hardly touched upon them. And Kaviraj Goswami himself concludes the chapter of Ballabhabhata receiving mercy from Gadadhar Pandit when everyone else rejected him, by saying that Gadadhar Pandit is the emblem of kindness, humility, and gentle behavior, glorified in this world as Gadadhar Gaur, the Gadadhar of Gauranga. And even Srila Rupa Goswami, who just touches upon the glories of Gadadhar Pandit, and even he was misunderstood. And therefore, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that language cannot possibly suffice to explain the depth of the glories and the sweetness of the love of Gadadhar Pandit. It is testified most accurately in the fact that he took shelter of Pundarik Vidyaniti. And simultaneously, the glories of Pundarik Vidyaniti are such it can only be revealed in the Leela of Gadadhar Pandit becoming his disciple. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati installed the deities of Gadadhar Pandit with Gadadhar Pandit with Lord Gauranga. In Navadvip Dham, in Champa Hut, named after Champaklata, the Champak forest, where Jayadev Goswami previously lived and worshipped Radha and Krishna, who appeared there in the form of Lord Gauranga, long before Mahaprabhu actually descended in this world, where he told them to leave and go to Puri to please Lord Jagannath. Champa Hut, beautiful forest of Champak trees. Where Champak Lata would run down from Braj to pick Champak flowers and run back to Vrindavan and make garlands and that. The rivals were, where does she get these flowers? There's no Champak flowers growing in Braj. And she didn't tell her secret garden in Navadvip. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was leading the parikrama at Navadvip Dham. He set up his camp, his base, in Champa Hut, and established the deities of Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Gauranga, Gaur Gadadhar. In the first year that the ISKCON devotees performed the complete nine-day Navadvip Dham Parikrama, he spent the night in that temple of Gaur Gadadhar. And the Bhajari was a very elderly sadhu, Nayananda Babaji. And he was crying in appreciation. He said, since the time of my Guru Maharaj, he was a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, since the time of my Guru Maharaj, when he led the parikrama parties, no one has done it properly. You ISKCON devotees are reestablishing his standard. He was so grateful and he was so humble that everyone was crying. And it was time to take rest, and he showed us our room. It was his room. He left his room to accommodate the devotees. And we were insisting, no, don't leave you. But he went out to sleep in the kitchen outside another building. We were protesting, no, and then he insisted. He explained how when his Guru Maharaj installed Gaur Gadadhar there, he told this one devotee, a brahmachari at the time, to stay there and serve those deities, and he was still there. And he told the beautiful story how when Ban Maharaj had returned from Europe And there was a big reception party at that temple in Champa Hut. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was explaining how it was his father's desire, and his mother also, it was her last request to him, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, to push this mission to the West, to make Krishna consciousness available to the Western world. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was welcoming back Ban Maharaj and others, who returned without any great success. And he wasn't completely satisfied. And he was speaking mainly while addressing the sannyasis in the front of the audience. But Sthayananda Babaji explained it. Then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's mood became very grave. And he looked out in toward the back of the crowd to the left side and made a prediction that in the near future, one of my disciples will actually go to the West and spread this Krishna consciousness everywhere. So this Nayananda Babaji said, he was looking my direction, so I turned around to see who he was looking at. And it was Abhay Charan, sitting right behind him, their eyes locked in acknowledgement and appreciation. So, Gadadhara Pandit is the acharya of confidential service. We practice Vaidhi Bhakti, in which we worship Mahaprabhu as the Lord of Vaikuntha, and Shanta and Dasiras. But he says himself in Chaitanya Charitamrita that all the world worships me in reverential devotion. It doesn't attract his heart. It may satisfy our mind, but it does not attract his heart to us or our hearts to him. When our Vaidhi Bhakti becomes very sincere and mature, because only when Vaidhi Bhakti is directed toward Mahaprabhu does it reveal at a certain point that Vaidhi is an aspect of Raghunug. And when it becomes very mature and very sincere, Mahaprabhu of Nadia becomes Radha and Krishna of Vrindavan. And that confidential link is established through Gadadhara Pandit. So this being the day of his appearance in this world, he who is mercy incarnate and the very form of love is most readily and accessible due to the blessings that accompany his appearance. Let us pray for his blessings and mercy, that our devotion can actually attract and please Lord Shri Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions?
You mentioned that after Padarapada Pandit realized that he made the mistake, then he said that the way to kind of atone for his mistake, he was going to ask to become a disciple of Kundalini. And I think there are other cases like that, similar. So why is it, I don't understand, why is the atonement becoming a disciple?
First of all, I should add one thing there, that there is nothing that is unknown to Gadadhara Pandit. But Krishna placed him in a divine illusion so that he would misunderstand Pundarik Vinayati to facilitate this whole lila. That's the background for the answer to your question. But the answer is that surrender as a disciple is the formal acknowledgement of surrender and submission, which evokes mercy and grace. And it's not essentially different than any other Vaishnava relationship, except for the commitment, the vow. Which formalizes the surrender and makes it more effective.
That seems like, you know, when we take the initiation, it's just the beginning of surrender. It's not, you know, one-time act. It's just...
It's the beginning. But as in any relationship, commitment is the key to empowerment and success. Because relationships go through their challenges and changes. And if you're not committed, there'll be reservation at a certain point. Whereas if there is commitment, which is formalized in a vow, and by that commitment, that formal declaration, all the energies of the universe align to facilitate our success. That's the effect and the need for commitment.
On the memory tapes, Bhavananda was describing how when invoking the name Gadadhar, the Prabhupada insisted that it be pronounced Gadadhar. So I'm wondering, do you know that the etymologically, what is the meaning of the word Gadadhar?
The holder of the club. Gada is Krishna's club. Gadadhar is he who holds the club.
How does that, given what you've explained about his relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how does that mean? It seems like almost like a rasa vas.
There's one way to look at it, is that the relationship between Gadadhar and Gauranga really cemented with the Lord's return from Gaya. What happened to Gaya? It was seeing the lotus footprints of Gadadhar enshrined in a temple and hearing the glories of those lotus feet chanted by the brahmanas that the Lord's mood finally changed and the devotional feelings which he had kept suppressed so effectively within his heart could no longer be concealed. And just blossomed, and simultaneously, by the arrangement of Providence, Ishwara Puri happened to be there. Other than that, I wouldn't know how to answer that question. How the wielder of the club is an appropriate name for the acharya of gentle, graceful, intimate affection. But it's Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. If we approach him as the wielder of the club, that's the image we see. But if we know that he has the most tender heart, he'll reveal that aspect.
Maharaj, I'm just struggling a little bit with the concept of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna and Radharani, and then Gadadhar Pandit was Radharani. And then why wasn't Gadadhar Pandit in the mood of Radharani?
That's a very good question, and thank you for asking that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in mood of Radha, sometimes. But his moods were infinite and ever-changing. Sometimes he's Krishna, sometimes he's Radha, sometimes he's Ishvara, sometimes he's devotee. And he's always wandering through the endless myriads of Radha's various bhavas and Krishna's. So when Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Krishna, Gadadhar is Radha. When Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radha, Gadadhar is her most intimate friend, Lalita. And when Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radha in separation from Krishna, Gadadhar Pandit personifies Radha in union with Krishna, and therefore his nature is just like that of Rukmini, who personifies union with Krishna, even much more than Satyabhama, who was exiled to Nava Vrindavan by Rukmini's arrangement. So Gadadhar Pandit assumes the appropriate mood to complement whatever Mahaprabhu's mood happens to be, which nobody else could even really read. And that's why you find in Gaura Gangadesh Dipika, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Gadadhar Pandit is identified as different personalities. Vrindavaneshwari, Lalita, Rukmini. Because as Mahaprabhu is wandering through his different myriads of ecstasies, Gadadhar Pandit is just assuming a mood to complement that, which is ever-changing. Thank you. Yes.
Well, I had this one thought about the meaning of the name Gadadhar, because I was thinking, is it possible, because Sanskrit is so vast and just one little line on the top makes sometimes different words, and all those words have different meanings.
But even without changing the line on top of the letter,
yeah,
leaving any word as it is, mm-hmm, can be interpreted in endless meanings.
Mm-hmm.
So surely there is,
yeah,
another, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking that's a possibility,
right? Oh, it's a certainty.
Maybe some love in there somehow.
It's a certainty, I just don't know what it is.
Okay. Yes. In my opinion, the house with Krishna, what Chaitanya has nocturnal pastimes?
Srivasangam.
Srivasangam, there's a house, the Gadadhar with him, up point to the river. What point in his life did he live in that house?
Until he went to Puri after Mahaprabhu Sannyas. He lived most of his life there.
Of his parents' home?
Anything else?
That story when about pondering Vidyanidhi and all his the wet and it just can be so confusing. I'm just wondering, would you give there are some obvious lessons, but if you just elaborate about, there's so many probably lessons.